This is podcast number one for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. I'm Marlene Peterson, and today we are talking about raising lifelong learners. Welcome to my very first podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I've always been excited to share what I've been learning about educating the heart, but anyone who knows me knows that doing a podcast is way out of my comfort zone. That's because I'm an introvert. Spontaneous speech is slow to me, so when it's been suggested to make this casual and formal, I get stuck. It's not that I don't have enough content. It's that I have way too much content. Any single idea will suddenly bring up dozens of other ideas, and it takes time for me to sort it all out, which could be an editing nightmare for my husband and could end up looking a lot like rambling to you. I've been told to speak from my heart, but I've become very aware of how words get in the way and how cumbersome they are when you're trying to express a feeling or an impression. I hope there will come a time that I'll feel more comfortable interviewing moms and having it be more spontaneous so that you can share your experiences with others, and I do want to incorporate more questions and answers. But for now, I'm just trying to find a comfortable middle ground so that we can get started and so that we can connect on a more regular basis. I know how busy you are, and you have so many options competing for your time and attention. Once this gets going, I'd like to spend maybe 15 or 20 minutes a day with you, Monday through Thursday. We're coming up on a new school year, so I thought I'd use August to review some basics about the well-educated heart and hopefully continue to clarify the vision for you. I'm going to talk about the rotation schedule. I'll take you on a walking visual tour of the online library. We'll take another look at notebooking. I'll cover some nuts and bolts, things like how to capture and print images for notebooks and use the fine art in the fine art library. And I'm really excited to share what I've been learning about the Delphian Project, and we'll take another look at the Mother's University. Then, starting in September, I'd like to organize our chats around topics from the rotation schedule. My intention is that we'll spend Mondays on American history, Tuesdays on world history, Wednesdays on nature, and Thursdays on Mother's University topics. I'll share good books and stories, insights and principles along the way that you can use with your family to pique their interest, because creating a desire to learn is always the first step in learning anything. We'll work through the rotation schedule together, and I'll share my notebooking pages, and you can share yours, and I'll try and sprinkle in some question and answer sessions along the way. Keep in mind, we're trying to do a deeper layer of learning here, and it looks different than what you may be used to. I know that having a curriculum to rely upon may feel like a much safer way to go. And if you're brand new to homeschooling, maybe that's where you need to start while you learn more about the well-educated heart methods. If I was going to choose a curriculum, in fact, I would hands down choose Jenny Phillips' Good and Beautiful. There are lots of wholesome lessons for the heart there. And every day you'll know exactly what you need to cover. It's all laid out for you. It's a familiar way of learning. You'll feel more in control. Many moms are afraid that they'll forget to teach something or leave something out, or that their children will fall behind. Curriculum calms that fear for moms who are afraid that they're going to ruin their children's lives. But because you're here listening to me, I suspect that somewhere deep inside of you, you feel like something's missing, that there has to be a different way, because for too many students, this way of learning kills their love of learning. They can hardly wait to graduate and put learning behind them. Sadly, far too many students after graduation will never choose to pick up a book and read it, despite all our lessons in reading comprehension. How many adults write anything? Who spends evenings in deep conversation? Who chooses to spend their leisure hours studying science, history, or literature? One of the objectives of the well-educated heart is to create lifelong learners. Childhood is for warming and opening hearts to that end. Most of what I talk about and the resources I share with you are for warming and opening their hearts, not mastering a subject. Mastering is the second step, not the first, nor is it the end. We want learning that will bear fruit, learning that will serve a usefulness, learning that will bring joy into their lives and make the world better. I'll talk more about that in the next podcast when I talk about the rotation schedule. I keep trying to find ways to help you see how this kind of learning differs from the way we're all used to, because the tendency is for moms to take the resources I've gathered and try to fit them into or organize them into a curriculum where the mom is still in control of the learning. She's picking the books her children will read. She's deciding what people they'll learn about and when. She's still in charge, and it short circuits and defeats the whole process. Let me try and illustrate it this way. My husband and I and a couple of our kids went to an escape room for the first time a couple of weeks ago. If you don't know what that is, there are usually three or four rooms you can choose from. You're given a scenario and then you have 1 hour to escape. We chose the fire escape, and here was our scenario. The smell of smoke causes you and your family to evacuate your home. While outside, your father tells you his precious family heirlooms are going to be destroyed. Without thinking twice, you tap into your hero instincts and rush back into the house. Can you find all the items and escape before the time runs out? There was a list of about 18 items on the wall for us to look for. Now, we had no idea at all what this is going to look like, and I can't give away any details, but I can tell you that the room we were in was very sparsely furnished. There was a bed, a couple of dressers, and a few pictures on the wall. At first glance, we thought, what on earth? What are we even looking for? None of the items we were looking for were in plain sight. So we just started opening drawers and looking behind things and under things, looking for anything that might give us a clue. And we started telling each other the random things we were finding, not knowing if they meant anything or not. Now, we were told that if we got stuck, we could call down to the desk 2 times and they'd give us a clue. After about 20 minutes of finding nothing, we decided we better ask, and he said, did you find such and such an item? And he told us where to look for it. Suddenly, seeing that made us see how the clues fit together, and it got us going. Now we understood what we were looking for, and it started getting exciting as we scrambled to look for hidden clues, and we solved puzzles, and there were all kinds of surprises along the way. We finally got down to the last 5 minutes with one more heirloom to find. We had all these pieces of puzzles that didn't make any sense, and they just didn't seem to fit together, and we thought, oh, darn, after all that, we're not going to get out in time. We didn't think there was any square inch that we hadn't searched. Then my husband said, guys, did any of you look here? And he held up an item that suddenly brought all the clues together, and we frantically worked a combination and got out of the room with 1 minute to spare. It was exhilarating. We were elated. We kept saying, we did it. We did it. Afterwards, we went to dinner and we kept reliving how the clues came together and how we solved the puzzles and all the unexpected surprises. We can hardly wait to do it again. Now, let's revisit the escape room curriculum style. First of all, you're not there by choice. Someone has compelled you to be there. You are usually not even given the reason why you're in the room. Rather, you're handed a stack of tasks to be completed before the hour is over. And if you don't, you cannot go outside and play. So the fire room curriculum style might look like this. Open the 3rd drawer down in the dresser. You will find a locked box. Here is the combination to the box. When you open it, there is another assignment inside. And now imagine reporting to the same room day after day with a new stack of tasks to be completed. True, no child will be left behind. They will probably all eventually get out of the room. But at what cost? I guarantee there would be no escape room franchises. Who would go back? There's no thrill. But isn't that what learning by curriculum looks like too often? Every day we give our children a list of tasks to be completed. Define this word, spell that word, answer this question, read that story, and tomorrow we'll do it again, and the next day, and the next day. How many children do you hear out in the backyard saying, "That was so cool when we copied the definition of refraction"? Yeah, hey, I can spell it. Designers of curriculum have already made all the connections. They have solved all the puzzles. Your job is to simply complete the tasks they give you. There is little room for the aha moments when pieces come together. There are few Archimedes in the bathtub moments. Remember when he shouted, "Eureka!" when he figured out the problem he'd been working on. It reminds me of a community I saw in China where everyone was given employment. Everyone had their meals provided for and their housing. They were given clothes to wear. All their needs were met. They finally had to seal off the balconies because too many were jumping to their death. What was the point of living? We are designed and hardwired to learn by discovery and exploration. It's finding the clues and the patterns and making the connections for ourselves that keep us coming back for more. My hope and my desire is that you, at some point, will have the courage to relinquish your role as taskmaster and embrace the fun of loading the rooms with clues and getting out of the way while your children explore and discover for themselves. It's up to you to tell the story and light the fire to get the process going. And just like the guy at the desk downstairs, you're there to answer questions when they get stuck. In the end, it makes life a whole lot easier for you because you are not burdened with the million facts you feel you need to hammer into your children. When your children learn by exploration and discovery, they'll keep coming back for more, and they'll find hidden treasures of knowledge you may not even know exist. I think it was William Wordsworth who said one day that there was so much in life that he still wanted to learn, that if he lived 70 times 7 lifetimes, he couldn't get to all of it. The friends of the great scientist Louis Agassiz wanted to gift him with a trip to Europe. He said, "How can I take time to go there when there's so much in my own backyard I have not yet discovered and learned about?" He stayed home and spent the next 9 months exploring every inch of his backyard and thrilled at all he learned. Is this the love of learning you want to see in the hearts of your children? Then it will require that you let go and trust the process. Would it help if I reminded you that this is God's method of learning he uses with us? He created a beautiful world and loaded it with endless clues, but he's never assigned and compelled his children. His instructions are simply seek, ask, knock. It didn't bother him that it took us nearly 6,000 years to discover electricity and put it to good use. It's been there the whole time. We only figured out flying a little over 100 years ago. He knew to not allow the explore and discover process of learning would be to deny us one of our greatest joys. As Dr. Alan Stockdale wrote, "God gave to man the challenge of raw materials, not the ease of finished things. He left pictures unpainted, music unsung, problems unsolved, that man might know the joys and glories of creation." That process of creation is to take matter unorganized and organize it into new ways. In our escape room, we organized pieces of information into a usefulness, and it was thrilling. Think of all the music that has been created from just 8 notes on a scale, all the art that has been painted from 3 primary colors, and all the works of literature written just using 26 letters of an alphabet. And think of all that is yet to be created. What a tragedy that we train our children to wait for instructions, that we rarely give them a chance to explore or discover something that excites them. As I said a moment ago, this finish the tasks we assign mentality is turning out generations of students who want nothing to do with learning once they have a diploma in hand. And many other students don't care enough about the diploma to even earn that. Granted, there is risk involved. We checked and only about 30% make it out of the fire escape room on the first try. But even God knows the risk is worth it. As a wise man said, a child is ready to learn when a child is ready to learn, not when we are ready to teach him. Here at the Well-Educated Heart, I will constantly encourage you to let go of the job of taskmaster and embrace the fun of learning the way we were divinely designed to learn. I'm not asking you to do nothing. Your job is going to be to set up the rooms of discovery, and that's where I'll be going with the next podcast as I talk about the rotation schedule, which is really nothing more than setting up rooms. If you visit welleducatedheart.com, everything is set up for this kind of learning. For instance, when you go into the Mother's University, I don't give you an order of what you should read first or even tell you exactly what you should read or give you questions to answer. I don't even tell you what to do or what conclusions you should draw. Rather, I set up rooms that I know are loaded with clues for you to look around and discover and begin to piece things together for yourself, which is the same process I hope you'll allow your children. It's how I've been learning all the things I've been sharing with you about educating hearts of children. And the more I learn, the more I want to learn. My list grows bigger every day. It's an exciting and joyful way to live. I had a mom who wrote, who said she went to the Simple Joy Conference because she wanted to learn how to do the well-educated heart. And she said she got really frustrated after the first couple of speakers because they weren't telling her what to do. Then after a couple of more presentations, all of a sudden the light went on, and she could see for herself things she could do with her own children, even though those ideas weren't laid out directly. There is no one-size-fits-all to learning, although there are too many people out there trying to make it so. Learning the way I'm trying to describe to you allows for individual circumstances, personalities, capabilities, aptitudes, and interests. It's a very personal journey. If you haven't found it yet, here's today's clue. Go to the training page at welleducatedheart.com and start spending time in the Catch the Vision introductory course you'll find there. Start collecting the puzzle pieces, and you'll find they will soon start fitting together in wonderful ways. And this brings me to the end of podcast one. The first one's always the hardest, right? I think I'd like to always send you on your way with a favorite quote or poem. So today's thought is attributed to the author of The Little Prince, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. When you want to build a ship, do not begin by gathering wood, cutting boards, and distributing work, but awaken within the heart of man the desire for the vast and endless sea. Bye-bye. See you next time.